sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm drinking beer, Johnny.
Did you drink beer, Johnny? Yeah.
Ballast Point, sponsor us.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Night Swim. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're reviewing Chucky, Season 1, Episode 4, Just Let Go. And let's again talk about how much we love this show. So, how much did you like this episode?
I had an epiphany with this episode.
Okay.
I think every episode is going to be structured exactly the same. It's always going to be mundane, blah, 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 rigmarole to get us through the story for like the first 15, 20 minutes. And then it becomes completely unhinged for the last whatever amount of time was left in the episode. And I kind of really dig it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I liked, I really feel like this series is moving at a fast pace, right? I thought, yeah. And
we're only in episode 4 and so much has happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and like it's almost structured like a long movie, you know, like a big movie. So this feels like, this is what, like, this would be the fourth hour of a movie, and I feel like it's I think my only criticism of this episode, this was kind of like a, what I would call a, like, set dressing kind of episode where they're putting everybody in place for the next act, where yeah. Now that we kind of, our heroes are now together, and they're going to go against Chucky, because Chucky is being presented as like the true villain of the piece now. So there's a little bit of like setting up.
Most of the kids are aware, right? Yeah.
Most of the kids are aware, yeah. And our three leads are, you know, was it Devin, Lexi, and Jake? They're all, Jake are now all kind of on a unit. They're all on the same page now. Yeah. So, and they're going to, and I think you're right. I think they probably are going to kill his cousin, Junior. That feels like where they're going to go with it. And everybody, after the incidents of the last week's episode where they had the fire, all the kids are now like in the hospital, and you know, the detective mother of Devin seems to be the clued in on the doll being the killer, which almost just feels like fast, right, for a TV show. Like all the stuff that's happening just feels super fast. But
I mean, I didn't really gather that she thought the doll was a killer. She's just more like, why would the doll be there all the time? Just trying to really pin it on the kid. Like, obviously you've been killing these people. But the way this episode ends, you know, there's no excuse because her partner got murdered and he was with her the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Chucky got sloppy, but,
Chucky got sloppy.
As I was watching this, somebody had commented.
Okay. All right.
Hey, just kind of poking fun at some of the acting. I'm like, no, I mean, none of these kids are good at acting, but to be fair, they all are like 13 in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just, you know, doing a very, almost Disney style idea of how acting is supposed to be. And I said, if you watch this from the beginning, it just works because you fully embrace that this is going to be camp.
Yeah.
And it just works. Like, it's really fun.
Yeah. And they continued,
but they killed the cousin 'cause he's not very good.
Huh? Yeah. He's kind of weak. I like how they continued also, and this sounds really dumb, but somehow they're making it work, how they're showing the origins of the serial killer.
Yeah.
We have another little, in this episode, they had like a continuation. Now he's a little bit older. He's in a home and he's like, sort of had recruiting other people into the things that he wants to do, I guess. Right. Basically like, and I was trying to remember in the movie, wasn't he a leader of a cult or was he just like a straight serial killer?
There was, I think, a movie called Cult of Chucky. Where they were worshiping, what's his name?
The doll. The killer, Charles Lee Ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I liked that they...
I think, but also correct us, because I didn't watch that one. I think I tried and I was like, this is bad. And I just don't remember any of it.
I don't remember, because it sounds like he did some like black magic stuff to get into... Obviously, he did some black magic stuff to get into the Chucky doll, right? But I don't remember if he had like a... like other followers. So I don't know if this is like a new idea or just the same idea, just sort of reinforced here. Either way, it works. And I think that the danger of showing the origin stories of a serial killer is that you end up getting Anakin Skywalker, right? They end up becoming less villainous and they become more like tragic. And which is why I don't think that, you know, Anakin Darth Vader thing never worked, right? Because they try to make you feel like he's a tragic character who turned bad, which is why I don't think those, you know, I think the way they're doing it here is that they're presenting him as literally like, since he was a kid, he had these like instincts of a killer, and it's sort of just being reinforced and being redone clever ways.
That totally works. Anakin thing, I think also, like, I feel like it would have worked because you know how like in the prequels, Anakin like drank a lot of beers, especially like he had like the summer style beer, the Shandy style beer.
No, I don't remember.
No,
which episode?
He was always crushing those. So he always liked to kick back and kill some younglings.
Yeah. Okay.
Hope everybody enjoyed that one.
Yeah, they did.
And I hope everybody knows that's a lemonade tasting beer, by the way. It's not bad. It's just weird.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just seems like, and they tend to, anytime they try to do like origin stories of classic villains, it always ends up being this like poorly done because they try to make him a good guy. He turns bad and never works.
Yeah.
And what I like about the show is that they're presenting him pretty much as is. Like he's almost fully formed at this point, right? That he was a murderer and they're putting him in different points in his life and showing how he's been kind of like the same awful person up until Chucky, which is, I think, is actually a smart, interesting way to tell an origin story.
But he's also got like a soft spot for like, he wants to groom other kids, kind of like that other killer was like, oh, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's why he's not going to kill our main kid.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but yeah, he's going to be... Yeah, Jake. I also feel like we may return... They may have set up a new character because in the flashback, they show him one kid, a part of the group that he was trying to groom, is like... interested in the idea of killing people. He wasn't grossed out by the death. So I felt like that guy, that particular kid, we may see as a grown-up later on in the series.
He like gives him the severed hand, right? It was the dude.
He gives him the
the maintenance guy that was giving him shit.
Yeah.
And that was real fucked up that they would play like Peter Pan or whatever. He's like, look, I finally got him. I killed Hook. And it's just like he cut off the hand of the dude.
Yeah. And again, like A+ on the murders too.
Yeah.
They're very inventive and like they're very for a TV show.
My favorite murder so far in the series is the detective partner guy getting stabbed by a bunch of needles that were in like a jar. I'm like, God, dude.
It's all overdone, yeah.
It's so gross.
It's great though. Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. And then
And we failed to mention Chucky is like half melted, burned, and kind of like bloody a little bit.
Effects from the fire, I guess, right? I guess he did. While he was laughing hysterically, he was burned. Yeah, his face was burnt.
Because they don't show us what happens right away, right? She just kind of falls.
We just stay in the hospital the whole episode.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just kind of really cuts to, like, this is where all the kids are at.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that one kid that Chucky killed.
Devin, right? Was his name Devin? Yeah. No. It was Devin's the podcast kid. You're talking about the murdered kid, right?
Yeah.
Not going to find his name.
Which the detective was asking Jake about, right? Where it was like, did he bully you too? He was like, no, he was always nice to me.
Which isn't true, because he was the one that invited him to go to the Halloween party. And wasn't he the one that was picking on him in the first episode? So he kind of lied.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like he could have just, if he had just come clean then, he could have just like maybe put a little less light or, you know, heat on him, on the detective. But I guess they've deduced that he was murdered before the fire.
And we're also getting the parents are not believing their daughter anymore because they're like, you got to stop picking on him type of deal. So,
mm-hmm.
like, everything's coming up Chucky right now somehow.
And I do like the, I guess there's like a truce at this point, right, between Jake and Lexi. They're kind of on the same side now.
Which,
I feel like this, what about this podcast kid? This podcast kid is just kind of here for fodder, huh? He's not too interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, no, he's not interesting at all, to be honest.
He's just kind of like the love interest, right? At this point, he just comes in and says something adorable to Jake, where Jake smiles and
he's almost like sheepishly. What's her name? The Amy Adams Lois Lane.
Oh God. Terrible one. Yeah,
like I don't know how to explain this. It seems like he's supposed to be important. He's learning everything about this killer, so they don't know about Charles Lee Ray or Charles what the fuck's his name?
Charles Lee Ray.
Brad Dourif's fucking character's name.
Right.
They don't know anything about that, and he seems to figure all that shit out, so he's doing it, and he even records a podcast episode about it.
Yeah, I don't think he Googled it this episode, which is like the first time he did it. He's done that, right? So,
yeah,
his character's a little bland, but, you know, I guess he has a part to play, right? He's a love interest. Yeah, good episode. Like, I gotta comment again on the pacing. It's just like so fast. Like, things are happening that I didn't think were. I thought maybe would dwell a little bit more on like the manipulation of Chucky and this kid, and he'd have to be convinced to do the killing. And literally, we're already way past that point now. Like, they're all against Chucky.
Yeah, even to a degree where Jake and what's the chick's name?
Lexi, the black girl.
Lexi,
yeah.
Molly,
I know.
She's saying, what, like, why did you send the Daw to kill me? And he's basically like, because you fucking suck, you know, like, you're a shitty person.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you should die, blah, blah, blah. And she almost falls over because they go back to the burnt house to find Chucky. And she almost collapses, you know, falls off the second story because the wood has been burnt through. And he catches her. So he doesn't want to kill her, but then Chucky's down there, and that's the reveal of where Chucky's been, and he's like half melted.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole time, like, he's just, you know, so now he's like seriously against Chucky. And then it's just, you know, by chance the detective's partner comes in and grabs the doll. And I did like this line right before Chucky is, or right after Chucky kills the detective. He was like, you know, it's just because from the moment I saw you, I couldn't take it anymore. You're just so goddamn ugly or whatever. And then he looks at a reflection of himself and he's like, but maybe I'm just projecting.
Yeah.
good maybe shit I'm just, all around.
Yeah.
But I just enjoy the shit out of that. It's like, maybe I'm just projecting. Who knows?
Yeah, excellent. Good, great show. Really fun. Can't say enough positive things about it.
Which leads directly into our feature today. Where I'm going to let you take the reins for as long as you want about all the positive stuff you can say about it.
Which I always do. Yeah, I'm the positive guy. Which I'm not, no spoiler here, but I'm not saying I am. I could finally just like, I could have had it. This could be the movie, my tipping point movie, where I finally just like don't take a positive spin. Well, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see.
It's true.
All right. Let's move over to our main review then of Night Swim. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. For the movie Night Shit, coming in at 3, no lifeguard is on duty.
That's a good one.
Coming in at 2 for Night Shit, water will never have rules.
It's true. Nor should it.
No. And coming in at 1 for your 2 Night Shit, stop pissing in the pool.
There needed to be a scene where he was pool pissing, right? That's one thing. Yeah. That's,
that's why the pool's mad. It's just stop peeing in me.
Okay. You didn't like this movie.
You know, and I didn't care for it.
Yeah, to be fair, it was poorly received, has terrible Rotten Tomatoes. It has a low IMDb score. And all intents and purposes, this movie is terrible. But we decided to watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, all right, well, we'll see you next time.
But I'll say this. Twist. Here's a twist. It's not as bad as you think it's going to be. It's not as bad. I think it's not great. It's not the best movie.
So I came in watching this very hopeful. I was waiting to find a gem.
What made it hopeful for you? Oh, you wanted to find a gem.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they were just wrong.
I think there's too much hyperbole in criticism, right?
Yeah.
In the YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, whatever the fuck. There's too much of, oh, this is like the worst thing ever. I wanted to, drown in the swimming pools. I don't know. Whatever bad pun they could put there, right?
But you know what this really suffered from? This was apparently a really excellent short film that got tapped to be a feature, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of one of those that actually panned out to be really good.
You say that. That's a lot of hyperbole.
Like that short.
For the history of movie, there's never been a good translation from a short film to a feature.
For a horror film, no.
For a horror film.
It's like sometimes you get pretty damn close and you're like, well, but still. It's always when they explain what the thing is, it ruins fucking everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's what I'll give credit for this movie. I think it's taking itself very seriously. For all intents and purposes, a movie about a swimming pool that kills people, you easily could have leaned into the silliness. Right? And it could have been just like
better if they did that, probably. You're right.
Like but yeah, and I think it's a fine balance, right? You got to be able to balance, the silliness, be self-aware and wink at the audience, but also like make it entertaining and believable enough that the audience is still on the ride with you. And this movie did the opposite. It's just like, we're a serious movie and we're trying really, really hard to be Amityville Horror. Like, you know.
Like, so painfully hard.
Yeah.
But I didn't care about any of these characters. There was no setup to be like, oh, I feel really bad that he's not a baseball player anymore. He's got some disease. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't clear, is it, right? Yeah.
It's like, oh, he hurt himself. Oh, okay. Because of his disease. I'm like, what happened? What, can he pick one? I don't know what's Lou going Gehrig on anymore. Disease. Yeah. That's what, you know, that's the popular opinion of it, right? Or did they actually full out say it was?
They didn't explain it. I kind of feel like it was a
baseball thing, right? So it's like,
but it almost seemed like it was neurological. Like, it was something going on with the brain, because he couldn't, like, his motor functions were slower than what he could actually move, right? It was kind of the deal, because he had a cane and, like, they recommended him getting in a wheelchair at some point. Yeah. But I mean, that's probably the only thing. This is the only positive thing I'll say about this movie, and then you and I can just, like, trash about how none of this makes sense. But the fact that I actually appreciated this movie taking it so seriously, and it's in the spirit of James Wan produced it, right? And he always straddles the line of like very silly, ridiculous premise, right? But yet somehow he's able to kind of twist it in a fun way. Now, I know he produced it, so it's not the same, right? Because he did Dead Silence, which he directed, and Malignant, which he also directed. And those movies are like, you read the log line, the premise of those movies, and they're just like bad ideas. But somehow he was able to craft a really fun, interesting movie out of those really like insane kind of premises.
Yeah, and when he does films like that, I have to wholeheartedly agree. When he goes straight into like, I'm making an 80s camp movie, and this is what I'm doing. Because each of those movies, Dead Silence and Malignant, I swear the first time I saw them, I was like, this is garbage. Until I got towards the end and I was like, oh, this is what this fucking movie is. And then I would rewatch them and be like, this movie's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why I was kind of interested in maybe watching before this movie got released in February. I was like, okay, well, James Wan's a part of it. I know it's a silly premise of a pool that kills people. But James Wan, if there's anybody that's going to take a ridiculous premise and like twist it in a way that's entertaining, James Wan would be the guy. It has a great cast. You know, Wyatt Russell, Carrie Condon's in this. Like, she just like, she's an excellent actress. She was amazing in the Banshee of Inisherin. I could not believe it was the same actress. I was like surprised that it was her. And you know, so seeing two really good actors plus the James Wan association, I was like you, I was hoping for the best, right? Hoping for something to gleam onto. Maybe best is too strong of a word, but just gleaming onto maybe something being positive about this movie. And again, like the only thing that I honestly say is like, they took it so seriously. Like, it tries to be, this movie is like as serious you could take a swimming pool that kills people type movie. This is it. So, now I'll refer to you and you may say whatever you would like in your first thoughts to be, John.
Well, here, like, first off, I know Jodie Long is older, but the makeup effect they did on her whenever she, you know, Carrie Condon goes and visits this woman, I was like, this, everything it's about bad. This looks awful.
Bad and cliche, yes.
Yeah. Every single thing about this. Yeah. How do you go from being Mrs. Chen in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the... I'm just kidding. How do you go from being the reporter in 1983 Splash? How do you go from being the Korean girl's mother is what she's credited as, and the hot chick Remember the one that had the super racist lines like, oh, you don't want something for your bling bling, whatever? And I'm like, and now you're doing this. Now you're doing CGI black fluid running from your eyeballs.
Yeah.
The ghost monster reveals? Pretty fucking terrible.
You know? Yeah. What do you mean? Like,
every time some of them would pop up, they all looked horrible, and specifically, I mean, no, they all look terrible. Like, all of the ghost designs look fucking atrocious. Especially the bloated guy, whatever the fuck he was supposed to be. I'm like, why don't they all look like that? I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess, well, I mean, that's like a spoiler thing, but I...
Well, because that's what the whole thing is, right? Like, I didn't think I was spoiling anything, because we all know it's like a haunted pool. And I don't know if these apparitions mean anything.
Yeah. I got you.
Because I also don't understand the rules of this thing. We say it's a haunted pool, but it seems like the water's haunted, and I don't get why. Like, I get what the reveal is, kind of, but I'm also like, that doesn't make any sense for what the rest of the movie is.
Right, yeah. And yeah.
They're all acting in a different movie. you know, it's hard to hold sympathy for a family that's like, oh, there's something up at this pool, but each of them goes back to this pool twice when nobody is around. You finally get one scene where they're having a pool party and you're like, oh, what's gonna happen? And it's not even as cool as you think it's gonna be. It's kind of lame.
I speaking of pools, we're both from South Texas, so
yeah. And you have a pool at your place.
Yeah,
it's been empty for like 10 years, but
empty drain pool.
It's a skate thing. I don't know.
Just kidding. Like skate thing. No, growing up, I can only think of maybe there's only like maybe a handful of times I've ever been in a pool. I mean, it's just not a Texas thing, right? Like, but we did grow up modestly, both of us. So.
Yeah. That's one way of putting it. I did learn how to swim from Gus and Goldie, which is very popular in the Rio Grande Valley.
It's a very niche.
Very niche, yeah.
Valley joke.
Well, come on in. I don't know. I kind of remember the theme song.
Because, like...
Why don't you come on in? And then all the kids sing together. What do you mean we can't come on in? We can't swim.
Well, something we would like to
come in.
You're...
Something like that, right? And yeah. Then Gus is like, what do you mean you can't swim? Just come on over and hop on and drown or something like that.
Drown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to not talk more mad shit about this film. It's just a really horrible... I did not enjoy myself. There it is.
This is Gail Books. Learn to swim with Gus and Goldie and Sam's Club.
You gotta leave it to Texas to continue on the 1960s style of...
This literally went on for like 30 years, this commercial. Anyways, yeah, please look that up.
I never knew
Gus
the true
Goldie.
Identities of Gus and Goldie. As you would expect or suspect... Goldie is a goldfish and Gus is some sort of bluefish. I don't know.
Sort of bluefish. Common right, bluefish in the valley.
Yeah.
Should do let's do a documentary about Gus and Goldie. Let's expose.
A murder one, right?
Anywho, yeah. I was gonna say, like, I don't remember being in a lot of swimming pools. I just grew up with like slip and slides and above ground pools, which is being generous because it's literally just we went to Walmart and bought something that's inflatable that would last like a couple of weeks and then throw it away. Pretty much is the extent of my pool situation. So so pools were not a thing. So I have no like seen the movie. I don't know, like they don't even do any like, I feel like they could have like, they don't even do any like maintenance on the pool. It's just always done.
They don't do shit for this fucking thing.
Yeah, I remember. I'm assuming pools are high or like a lot of maintenance, right? Because it's like,
yeah, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, there's something very silly about this entire film. Like, nothing panned out.
Even, he was very selfish too, right? Wyatt Russell's character, because he's like, he saw the pool, even though he's technically out of work and needs a lot of like rehab and medical attention. He didn't want to rent. He's basically putting this all on his wife, who's a teacher, and all they could afford at this point was to rent a home. But because there's the pool, Ryan Russell's like, let's buy this house.
Yeah.
Not ask any follow-up questions.
No, but it works out because of the reveal at the very, very end, which was super smart.
I actually like another positive, check mark on the side of positive is the real estate agent I thought was really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was nice moments in the movie.
She was really funny. She was real like, oh, you know what? My bad. You know, some people were saying some shit about the pool. Like, my bad. Yeah. That's right. Some girl went missing. I totally forgot about it. I blanked. I goofed on that.
Yeah,
she went into this pool and never came back out. My bad. I never told you that. I'm like, okay.
Or even the guy who came to fix the pool. I thought he was like, those two characters are like having fun and are like, feel like they're in the separate fun horror pool movie. yeah, because everybody else is like just taking this very seriously. They're living this nightmare that is the pool.
like consistently too. Like I'm saying, they don't have to.
Yeah.
But they each keep going back into the pool, usually in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep. Cause that's the smart thing to do. They're like, there's something off about this pool. I better go swim and think about it.
Is that a common thing to go night swim? Is this things that happen with people with pools? That's why I was kind of bringing up my history with pools. Is that like a theme? Like,
I feel like if you don't have neighbors that get annoyed, or you don't live right next to somebody, it's not a big deal. I'm sure like anything else, don't do that shit after 9 p.m. But you know,
I gotcha. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be annoying. Well, at least the mom had smart ideas. She's like, we got to buy a cover for that thing. So I thought it was funny. I don't know why I found that funny. Because I would have solved most of the issues, right?
I don't know. Because, again, when you get your reveal of the haunted pool, all of a sudden, it's like the rules don't matter.
Right. So, like you said, like they do a lot of like mind trickery manipulation here, so to entice you to the pool, so the pool could, I don't know, get you in the water.
Yeah.
That was one of the solutions they came up with people. If the people chose not to go in the pool, then that was the solution. They would entice you in ways. There's like a supernatural. Clearly, there has to be a supernatural explanation for what's going on. Yeah.
Sure. yeah. I mean, when we go into spoilers, I'll really start to dive into like, well, why the fuck did they do this?
Yeah.
But what else can we say about this stupid movie? I mean, not stupid. That's a poor choice of words. Sorry. Stupid-er movie.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's like there's like all this setup for 30 minutes, and then it doesn't matter. You're just
pretty
getting,
much.
It's a whole lot of, hey, Wyatt Russell really wants to play baseball again, but he's got some inexplicit degenerative disease.
Mm-hmm. Lou Gehrig disease is what I landed on.
The family's just there. I don't know. what does the son do? What are the son's interests?
model making superheroes
and swimming. And okay, what are the daughter's interests?
Baseball. His baseball. He liked baseball. Remember, he's like there's a scene where he. Yeah, the daughter. They insinuate that daughter played baseball too, and but doesn't anymore.
But yeah, now she's into swimming. Yeah, that's right. The Wyatt Russell is a part or is there for his kid's baseball game, and his kid is not very good at baseball, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, "Oh, why don't we pitch one to you, Wyatt Russell?" And he's like, "Yeah, okay." He knocks one out of the park.
Yeah.
And then that coach's son is like, "Can you sign this busted up baseball because it's so rad?" He's like, "You hold on to that. It's going to be worth a lot of money someday." Like, the writing was really atrocious, too.
Okay, yeah.
Like, the lines were really terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it was written by somebody who felt like a big-time producer in the 60s or something. Like, all right, yeah, and then he wants you to sign his baseball, and you're going to tell him, like, "You hang on to that, kid. It's going to be worth a lot of money someday." Anyway, that's my opinion on the writing of the film.
I'm not contesting this, but I get what you mean. You know, sometimes movies are made for profit, so doesn't really matter, you know, what's being said or how it's written. It's just trying to get to point A, point B, next action scene to next action scene. I mean, it's undeniable that's how some things are made.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, this is clearly like you said, a cash grab. But it is like a poor version. It's like a Wish.com version of Amityville Horror.
I kind of feel like this is the guy who made this is his first feature, and he wrote it. You know, he wrote and directed it. I think he had a second writer. He had to help him, I guess. Whatever.
Because he did write the original short that came out 10 years before.
That's what I mean. I don't think he's done much, so it feels like somebody figuring out how to write and direct. Does that make sense? Without being offensive, I'm not trying to be like crude or anything, but he's
one of the guys that wrote, he's half the team that wrote the screenplay for Baghead.
Is he really?
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I mean, from my notes, I mean, I knew this already. I just waited for the right time to bring it up.
Reveal it.
My notes on the internet.
Baghead, we thought was okay. It was a perfectly crummy lit movie.
It was fine.
Yeah.
This, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
It was a little uninspired, I think. It was a little uninspired, the writing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
I don't know.
Do you want to just head over to spoilers?
Well, I was going to mention one more thing. Going to say, you know how like this is a poor person's version of Amityville Horror, whereas remember the campy movie House, the 1980s movie House, not How Sue, but House, the one with what's his name? Anyway, you know, I feel like they did try to remake that movie, and it was sinister, and that was really fucking good.
Yeah.
Why aren't more people making movies like that?
I don't know. No, I mean, that just makes Sinister more special, right? Makes that team, those collaborators...
That's
more,
true.
More.
Yeah. Well, like, what was it?
Out-ish.
Ethan Hawke and. Yeah, that's it. I was kidding.
Well, I didn't write and direct the movie, but.
It doesn't matter, though. No.
So.
Oh, no. What's his face, right? The Australian dude, right? No. It's not
they're
the same
American.
Guy. But the guy, what's his name from. That wrote the screenplay for The Conjuring? No.
Nope.
Insidious? Yes.
No.
No?
It's no, see Robert Cargill and Scott Dickerson.
Oh.
Yeah. They made Black Phone as well. That was their follow up.
They sure did. That's why the younger brother is the guy that plays the cop in Sinister, right? It's the same actor. He just kind of keeps popping up and shit.
Probably. I haven't seen all the Sinister movies. I've only seen the first two.
Well, he plays the cop in
the cop?
Those two. Oh, I think forever. There's only two Sinister movies. And that is Night Swim. So we'll talk to you next time.
All right, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So, what is it? It's a wishing well? It's a wishing well. That's why they throw quarters in it. That's why.
It's a haunted wishing well that is pumping water into this one specific pool. No other pool in the neighborhood.
Even though it could go to large bodies, it could travel to large bodies
only
of water.
Only this one.
Because it traveled to Jody Long's house.
Yeah, I was going to say, and don't worry, as soon as you find out what the reveal is, now all of the water's haunted.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of dumb, obviously, but so it's a wish. So we don't even know if this is true or not. We're just going to take Jody Long's word for it because of how well she delivered this monologue about...
Despite how terrible her fucking makeup looked.
Yeah, she did look...
She's an old lady, obviously. That's what it felt like. I'm like, okay.
And, like, it's a wishing well from olden times, undisclosed olden times. Yeah. And that presumably people used to make a wish, but of course the catch is the monkey paw is that they had to sacrifice something. So throughout the movie, Wyatt Russell... One of the enticing things was that he wanted to use the pool for therapy, but he's getting healed faster, which is so weird the way they did that, because like that's fine. I'm okay with that. But literally once he got in the pool once, the next scene, he was already better. It's like,
yeah,
it's almost like it was like we would have been more interesting if they just shown like a little bit of a progression of him feeling better and more confident. Even he was arrogant at some point. He gets arrogant about his health again, which they kind of like slightly touch upon, but don't like go fully through when he's like, the kid wants to play with him, with no quarters in the pool like they had done previously, but he's too busy trying to like fucking pump iron and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So like, it is like one scene where it's like, but they could have like almost gone more in the neglect side that would show more of him being transformed by the thing in the pool or whatever.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. This water, it's the water's possessed at some point. It even has the foresight to manipulate a glass of water that somebody left on a counter to eventually, three scenes later, fall into the ground and make a young lady slip on a little puddle of water and run her hand into the broken glass.
Yeah.
Like, the water is doing some shit where I'm like, damn, there's no winning this one. Yeah, might as well just give up and walk straight into it, and bam, guess what happens?
Also, they...
You know what? I did, when we're ready for it, I did transcribe what happened at the end to my partner. If you want to read what I texted them.
Yes, we'll definitely get to that. I'll just quickly say that. So part of the idea is that they are the people that were sacrificed are the ones haunting the pool. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I guess that's why I'm saying I don't understand the rules. Like that little girl that dies at the beginning, she helps people.
Right. She helps people, but everybody else there is bad, but they're the ones who were killed or sacrificed, which doesn't really like track, right?
No.
Why would it be one okay kid and then like, because it almost insinuates that it's like almost a purgatory or hell or something, right? That's some sort of...
I also wrote that in my little transcript.
Okay.
<it's> like, It's the Further, I think. It's like Insidious's version of the Further, just in fucking water.
Because I think the pool chose the kid as the sacrifice. But yes. What? But that's where, I mean, the rules don't make sense. Like, why does it have to be the kid? It could have been anything. Oh, yeah. And plus, like, why did he want to kill the cat? Which I was very offended by. Why did he kill the cat?
I think it's kind of weird. Like, they didn't... Like, only one show I've ever seen got it right when it came to, like, sacrifices.
Okay.
You know, like, the smaller the sacrifice, obviously, the smaller the reward. So I think White Russell got a little bit better after the cat died.
All right. Roads lead back to Blood Ride, right?
Blood Ride. Exactly. Perfect. Just perfect. I did write, it's all haunted ghost water now, not just the pool. What are the rules? Mom dove into the pool to save the son who went into the Further. Bunch of random ghosts try to bring her down. The little girl who went missing in the beginning has now appeared to help her find the right direction out. Kid's been submerged in water for about 8 minutes.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
And I was like, this kid's dead, dude. Like, there's no... I said, they did the whole, Dad, you got to remember who you are. He fights his way back through loving memories. Now he's going to sacrifice himself to save the pool by giving himself to the pool. And I was like, just kidding about that. And then literally, like, 5 minutes later, that's what happens. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is the very end. I said, family decides to stay in memory of the dad by guarding the pool. Daughter, dad wouldn't want that. Mother does a slight nod, cut to POV shot from the bottom of empty pool. We fade out as cement is dropped from a tractor arm. Bad techno style music starts, credits appear.
So they filled the pool. Yeah, they filled the pool.
They filled it with cement, sure.
Yeah.
Somebody had to pump that water out, which I think was what was haunting the pool in the first place. But sure.
It's not that's part of it. It's not the water that was... So technically it still could be... This is, goes back to the, what is it? The Forgetting Sarah Marshall joke about Christian Bale or Kristen, not Christian Bale, was it?
Kristen.
You know what I'm talking about. Kristen, is it Kristen Bale? For some reason, that sounds wrong, right? Is that correct?
No, that's right. Yeah.
Where they're making fun of her because she starred in the movie about the phone, the haunting phone.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How come you just didn't turn it off? There, boom, no haunting. Same idea here. Just fill the pool. Boom. And we never saw it again.
That was very close to ruining the black phone, but luckily they saw that movie and they made sure that everybody saw it was disconnected, so it's haunted.
Well, the black phone was always like a imagination. It was never really like a plugged... Oh, I guess it was like a physical thing. I lied.
Yeah, it was in the cement basement thing.
Yeah,
just
that's
hanging
right.
Out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it got really stupid towards the end.
Could you recommend this movie?
To who?
To your enemies.
Well, there you go. I don't know. There's your answer.
I flat out told somebody, they're like, oh yeah, Night Swim, have you seen that? I want to watch that. I'm like, oh, maybe don't. Yeah, there you go. That's
very See, there you good. Go. It's already paying off. There's a reason why we watch this movie.
Yeah.
But I think anybody that would see a trailer or see anything about it would kind of gather what this movie is. If you hear, like, there's a horror movie about a pool, and whatever it is that you can conjure up or think about, like, use your imagination about it, pretty much this is what it is. there's no other, like, clever creative thing going on in this movie. It's exactly what it is.
It's true. But then you get movies like Rubber. It's about a haunted tire.
Yeah,
but that movie's pretty excellent.
Like, yeah,
it is, you know.
Yeah,
and this is
also
about
French.
A pool. It's true.
So that makes a big difference.
Very true.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any other thoughts about Night Swim?
No. I'm all drowned out in Night Swim.
Yeah. All righty. Let's rate it. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Night Swim 3 sexy wet bones.
This is disgusting. This is so gross.
It's mostly because I like our actors, and that's about it.
They're all the bones are moist. All right. Yeah, I think 3 sounds about right, too. I don't have any disagreement there. I think we're both...
I'll give it this. It would have been a rougher watch if it was boring, right? And it's not boring because the entire time you're kind of scratching your head, like, what? Then it keeps going. And you're like, what?
I only watch it if you have a morbid curiosity. Yeah, you have nothing else to do. Because
You probably will finish it and be like, what?
Yeah. That's the only recommendations we can give. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Go for a night swim. Mm-hmm.